We're going to take a short trip overseas with Oxfam now. Noel Debien has contacted the program manager in Timor for Oxfam. You might realise that Oxfam have been engaged in Timor over recent years and particularly over recent months with the elections going on in Timor-Leste. So Noel asked Karen Clark, Oxfam program manager in Timor-Leste, about Oxfam's work, especially with regard to the recent anxiety as the government is in the very difficult process of change.
With Oxfam, we're working a lot with people who've been displaced by the violence over the past year or year and a half. So it impacts quite a lot on their decision-making around whether they can go home. I think the concern that there may be violence as a result of the government being in place, and or there may be increased insecurity, such as sort of youths fighting with each other, has meant that people are still staying in these camps. So I think we really need to feel that there's an increased level of security, there's an increased sense of security, perception of security by people in terms of them starting to move home.
Karen, remind us, what's the extent of the number of people in IDPs, in these, you know, internally displaced persons camps?
Within the Dili district area, we have anything between 25,000 to 30,000. So at the moment, when there's increased levels of insecurity, you see more people coming into camps. So we'd probably be looking at closer to 30,000 people living in these camps. But not your traditional camp like you would see in Africa with big open places. It's a, you know, Dili's a city and it's, you know, in a very low-lying area. So they're sort of in the edges of churches, in hospital grounds, in parks, in town, around the airport, often near the homes of priests and nuns and things like that. So they're kind of quite spread out. We're working in about 50 camps across Dili.
So in a population, I think it's roughly just over a million of East Timor, you're talking about 3 or 4% of the population have still not gone home and don't feel comfortable to do so.
That's right. And these are the ones living in displaced camps. There's also a number of people who have decided to leave Dili and go back to, say, the districts of their origin, where they do feel a lot safer. But I mean, fortunately, the violence hasn't spread outside of Dili.
When you mentioned this violence, we had reports some time ago of gangs, in particular of young unemployed men, that appeared to be the principal problem. Is that the nature of the sort of unrest you're seeing at the moment, or is it somehow different?
That continues to be the nature. It's low level. It's in certain places around town, so it's not all over town, and you can quite happily live here and not see anything from day to day. So in specific areas that there are divisions or there are conflicts between them, and at particular times this might heat up, and other times it can calm down to being almost nothing.
And what's the key work of delivery for Oxfam currently?
Really, and with the people living in the space camps, Oxfam's working supporting water and sanitation and hygiene and health promotion in those camps. So there's a lot of trucking of water.
Keeping people free from disease.
And That's right. And working with people, and particularly children, around health, you know, looking at health issues. And as people living in these camps are often going to work during the day, children are often the main vehicle. They're in the camp staying with older siblings and things, and so working with them around looking at games to play around health and hygiene promotion, and then maybe using theatre and other forms of health promotion in the late afternoon for those who are working during the day.
Karen, for those of us who've not been inside these displaced persons camps, when you go into them, what do you actually see? What are they like?
I think because they've been here, you know, it's been over a year now, a lot of them are starting to look like villagers themselves. And, you know, they're people are living in tents, and they've often, in many cases, they've started to cover the tents with farm fronds and things, and they start to look a little bit more like huts. And people have really moved into these camps. I think that's one of the things to really work with people on actually there is a sense of sort of social security for people in these camps. And so it's really to support people to think about moving home and to be doing a lot of work around dialogue, how people themselves can feel that they can manage their own safety when they return home.
You mean you're trying to convince people to go home? It's starting to take on a bit too much permanence.
Well, it's about where is best for people. It's not I mean, both in terms of people's own physical health, living in these camps is not good in terms of risk, high risk of, you know, diseases. And but I think also from a psychosocial perspective, if people can be going home, and you know, there's a, while you're living in a camp, there's a sense of an ongoing crisis. So it's a really important for us to try to support people. I mean, obviously they need to want to go home, not to be forced, but to really support people to feel that they can manage what they see as insecurity, that they do have the support of the police and they do have the support of their neighbours, and they can, and they do feel safe to be going home.
I suppose, though, from your vantage point as a program leader for Oxfam, there actually is an ongoing crisis, though, in the sense that stability is not yet achieved and these camps actually do still have a purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely reasons why people can't go home, and I think that the elections went very calmly. I think that's given people an enormous confidence, and I think the next step is to have a government in place and to be able to have a government in place that everybody accepts. I think that's the challenge that the leaders of the country are working through now, and then to take that step by step back to the issues of security and to be really supporting people to go home.
You've been there before independence. In fact, you've spent up to, well, more than 7.5 years living in the country in East Timor. At this point in time, how confident are you about success and development there?
I do feel positive. I think this has definitely been a setback for people in East Timor, but I think that East Timorese people themselves are amazingly resilient, and I think they also feel quite strongly themselves about living their lives and having positive changes. So I think with a positive environment in place and with all of their leaders working together, I think that, you know, that East Timor can, you know, can work towards sort of reducing the massive poverty that's here and really sort of setting themselves forward. I think even within the crisis and prior to the crisis, there's been some quite major advancements here in the time that I've been here. I've seen some very, very positive things.
Some examples?
I think probably the community groups and the NGOs, local NGOs, Timorese NGOs that we work with, a lot of the things that they're taking on. I think a lot of the, for example, health education at the level of their community, working with each other, you know, seeing some, you know, amazing things in terms of people doing terracing and their gardens and the types of gardens they've been growing.
You mean development of agriculture,
yeah,
and farming?
And yeah. And I think even in terms of how, you know, how the government has grown over the period, because a lot of the people who are in government now, in the government positions, they weren't in government in the Indonesian time, so it's all been very new for them. I think in terms of some of the policies that have been developed, I think there has been a number of very positive steps.
Just in terms of observing, you know, economic well-being, development, jobs, those sorts of things, you were there when the Indonesians were there, you've gone back after the Troubles and the independence. How does it compare?
It's very positive. I mean, it's a whole different sort of ball game, really. I think a whole different set of scenarios. So I think it's definitely a lot more positive. I think it was a very difficult period for people last year, and this year things have definitely been a lot more positive than last year in terms of, you know, the crisis. I think there's a sense that things are moving out. There are steps on the way, and I think, you know, the result of these elections is yet another step towards resolving the crisis and towards moving ahead. So, you know, this needs to happen, but I think if we can move, and with the leadership we can move in a positive direction, I think that's the right way to go.
Karen Clark, Program Manager for Oxfam in East Timor, thanks for speaking with Sunday Nights.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Noel.